Hello, we're going to start.
I'd like to say we're glad that Sue and Denny's here this
morning.
And I would like to just give appreciations for what Tammy and Rita's done for our Sunday school class for the little ones. We stayed over here all day. What day was it? Thursday or something like that.
Yeah, Tuesday. One day.
And so we tuck down, we put up. We tuck down, we put up. But I'm proud of it too. Yeah. I mean, we just hope that we can get the little ones in here and get them started. And I feel like that they'll learn quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Plant the seed.
Yes, yes.
So. We don't want it in the barn. We want it in the heart. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Good job.
Bless God.
Oh, I mean, not me,
because
I can't
hear
you. No, I can't even hear
Harvey
this morning.
I got one for Tammy this morning. She requested this. Long black turn.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Watch out, brother, for that long black train.
Good job.
Will you sing my song, Gary?
You what?
Will you sing that song for me?
How great they are?
Yes.
Rose and Birds.
So she's singing with it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to sign it this morning. It means a lot to me. It's about love. It's a lot of people are lacking it this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Love, wax and gold.
Some say love, it is a river.
Bless the Lord. Son be propitiation for our sins. Bible says God is love. It says hereby we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Man, there's a lot about love. Jesus said before he came back, he said the love of many waxed cold. Brother Danny sung the song, How Great Thou Art. Bible said when God couldn't swear by no greater, he swore by his own name to Abraham. He said, a greater than Solomon's here, a greater than Jonah's here, a greater than Abraham's here. Boy, you're talking about greater. You don't get no greater than God. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He got a greater love. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, that word so says so much that encyclopedias could be wrote in one word. He so loved the world. Brother Denny, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad I got everlasting life.
Amen.
But it proceeded from the love of God. and from the love of God's Son. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Christ so loved the church, He gave Himself for it and purchased it with His own blood. Two loves manifested in our salvation.
Amen.
Appreciate that good singing.
Yeah.
I've got a few announcements here to make. I know the coronavirus is a threat to everybody. And with that threat, we don't want to get behind, so we're going to start having Sunday night service tonight. And we're going to start it early. Reason we are, we're trying to work within the time change so we can get out while it's still daylight. We got some people that they can't drive after it gets dark. And I certainly want to honor that and be sympathetic towards that. And Brother Ed said, well, if it gets in a big way, what are you going to do? I said, I guess I just have to stay. Y'all believe it. But anyway, we're going to start having Sunday night service tonight at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
If you come, you're welcome. If you can't come, we certainly understand. I believe the time's short. I believe the day's at hand.
Yeah, I
believe we're not far from leaving out. And you know what? We need to do what we can while we can.
Amen.
I know the night's going to come. We ain't going to be able to work. And what's really bad about the light coming, nobody can work. It means the light's getting dim.
Because,
see, just a little bit of light dispels darkness. It just means we just got just a faint light. But we're going to start Sunday night service tonight here at a Landmark. And we're just going to take it, I think, 2 days a month just for right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll go from there. But we'll start tonight. And we won't have a Sunday night service next Sunday. But after that, we'll have another one. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. The reason I'm looking forward to it, I've been wanting for a long time. Maybe get a few visiting preachers, maybe some young preachers, give an opportunity. And maybe you got somebody, Brother Eddie, if you like to, would you be interested in letting so-and-so come over and preach? I'm all for it. I need to soak some up. I don't mind dishing out, but I do remember the first church I took, the pastor up in Columbia, Kentucky, one man came and prayed me pretty quick, Brother Denny. I wasn't soaking up no more. I'm pouring out.
Yeah.
So if you know what I mean, I don't mind pouring out, but I like to soak up too, you know.
Yeah.
I like a good meal myself.
Right.
And give these young preachers opportunity, you know, to maybe encourage them, maybe get a little foothold in the ministry. I know there's a devil down here, and Jesus told Peter, and every preacher needs to take earnest heed to what He told him. He said, Satan has desired to have you.
Yeah.
That he may sift you as wheat. Every preacher, I tell you what, the devil loves preachers. Man, oh man, he plows my back, makes his furrows deep. Me and Donnie, we're always looking for plowed ground. We like to hunt arrowheads. And that devil plows the backs of every preacher, tries to discourage them. My pastor said he turns in his resignation every Monday, but he said about Friday, he said, I'm ready to get back up and get back in the fight again. But devils, I tell you what, buddy, they love preachers. They will, I mean, make shipwreck of anybody's faith, but they really come against a preacher because they know if they can bring that preacher down, and I hate to hear some of them have failed and succumbed to the attacks of the devil. If they can bring a preacher down, they can take a bunch with them. Because we don't do this for no other reason. We put a lot of confidence in preachers. And when the preacher falls, it's like a domino. A lot of people fall with it. All right. I want to make them quick announcements real quick. Even before I preach, let me say this real quick. I heard this on the radio, and it'll get you in a little bit of better mood maybe. An older couple was discussing, he's a preacher, was discussing about their marriage, and he said, we live in a two-story house. Have we got any men in here that live in a two-story house? Come on! There we go, we got one! Okay, rest of your men, get your hands up real quick. If I explain what a two-story house is, he said, she's got her story, and I've got mine. He said, I just got to get used to her being always right and me being always wrong. I'm still with two-story house men after he explained it. And he said, I'll be driving down the road, and he said, I'll make a turn. She said, what are you doing turning here? He said, well, I'm doing the driving.
That's right.
He said, he driving down the road one day, and she said, you want some ice cream? He said, no. And he said, it went about 3 miles. He looked over and she's crying like a little girl. He said, what's the matter? She said, I wanted some ice cream. He said, you should have told me you wanted some ice cream. But anyway, he just made the best of that. I tell you, most men struggle at trying to anticipate what their wife is hinting at.
Yeah.
And that's quite a challenge. No wonder the Bible says, your husband dwell with him according to knowledge. If you've ever found that book, I want a copy of it. And I prayed for my wife this morning, asked God to give me the grace I needed and the understanding I needed to be successful. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, if there ever was a truth, every home's under attack by the devil. Amen.
That's right.
You may not know enough Bible to know that truth, but it's true. Amen. Open up your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 12. We'll read about six verses there. This is a parable. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse number 16. And the Lord here doing the speaking. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And it's our last verse. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us to gather in your house. We thank you, Lord, for these that are before us. Lord, we're all here for the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, not only that you would bless your Word, I pray you bless me, your messenger, Lord, today. Lord, I'm no substitute. I don't even want to be a substitute. But I pray, God, you'd preach to me. I pray you'd preach to me. I pray you'd minister here today. May we all be able to leave today and say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, I know you're the only one that can tell us what we need to hear. Yes. And you're the only one that can help us in the way we need help.
Yes.
And we ask those things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
It's daylight savings time, Sunday morning. I'm preaching a message today on hell's wake-up call. Throw this at you real quick. Michael Bloomberg thought he would run for president with the liberal philosophy that thought he was smart enough, that thought he was rich enough, blew $800 million, then threw in the white towel and said, it ain't for me. And you know, the liberal philosophy is, you know, we've got to be, I don't know, PhD. I think that stands for both old diggers. I don't know. But we got to have a PhD, got to have enough degrees of a cold thermometer because we got so many degrees. And you know, we got so much money. It's worth like something like $60 billion. And I can't even imagine him spending $800 million before he said enough. I can't let no more go. But anyway, I've always said some people's got money and some people money's got them. And if he really won the presidency, I guess he'd have won a little further. But he just wanted to change it, I guess. But I want to preach about this man here. And he did get a wake-up call from God.
Yeah.
And you know, we all got up, you know, I guess a little. We lost an hour of sleep last night, so I don't know if we got up a little late or a little early. I just know one thing, I'm missing an hour of sleep. Amen. But I want to say a few things about this guy. Won't be very long, I don't think. But in verse number 17, he thought within himself. His thoughts were selfish. His thoughts were about himself. What's it? Let me get these glasses clean. I don't know if we got ladybugs on or what. But when I say his thoughts were selfish, he's a rich man. And it said a certain rich man, didn't it?
Right.
So, Vonnie, he's already rich.
Yeah.
The ground of a certain what? Brought forth plentifully. So he's already rich.
That's right.
And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to store my fruits. He's already got more than he needs. His thoughts were selfish. Why do you say that, Brother Eddie? In Luke chapter 19, verse number 8, there's a man climbing a sycamore tree. His name's Zacchaeus. Jesus said, come down, I must abide thy house today. You know what he said, Joanne? He said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He said, if I've wronged any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Why didn't this man say, I've got more than I need?
Yeah.
Call his neighbors.
Man.
Call the poor. And say, come. I've got plenty.
Amen.
He thought within himself, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
He's a selfish man.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I ain't got a whole lot, but I'll tell you right now, Donnie, he saw me yesterday. I put a $5 bill on the table up there at Huddle House. He bought my dinner, but I put the tip in there. I seen on the internet where this lady got her check working at a restaurant, Jerry, and it was $2.98. See, they charge her to work there. The only living she gets is from the tips.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to admit, if I had, I'd put a $100 bill out there, but I put a $5 out there anyway. And you know, we witnessed to her, and I gave her a track. And you know, I asked her if she's saved. She said, I think she said, I think I am. I said, don't leave that to chance.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you, salvation is simple.
Yes, amen.
Here's how salvation is so simple.
Come on.
Ask your own. Answer this question for yourself. If you died today, which is what I asked her, I said, would you go to heaven or hell? She said, I guess I'd go to hell.
Yeah.
See what I mean? You can answer your own question.
That's right. Amen.
And I said, is that where you want to go? She said, no. I said, well, then you need to do something about it. You need to get to Jesus and tell him, say, Lord, I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me. It's simple.
Yes.
Amen. But you know what? Nobody can answer that question but you.
Amen.
I know where I'm going. It caused me to sleep better.
Yeah.
Coronavirus ain't no threat to me. Hey, I'm good to go.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, I'm leaving on the first load. Hey, man, if it comes today, I'll be gone today. Death or the rapture. But Zacchaeus, just the opposite of this man. I give half. Zacchaeus was rich.
Yeah.
He gave half of his riches, Brother Ed, to the poor.
Yes, he did.
Can you imagine Michael Bloomberg calling Joanne and say, Joanne, I got $60 billion. I want to give half of it to you. And she called me and said, Brother Eddie, I'm paying your debts off. Come over and see me. I've got a check right here already signed. You come over here, you're good to go, son. You see what I mean?
You're right.
$60 billion. No, I can't count that high. Evidently, CNN can't neither. They said that $800 million that he spent, they said that was enough to give every person in America $1 million. Actually, it's like a dollar or something. When you put it on the right calculator, you know what I mean? But anyway, $60 billion. Look here. Let's just take for instance, this is a pie. There's just so many slices. Well, when somebody's got an all but like one slice, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, he don't need that much money. And it breaks my heart he had to blow $80 million to prove to himself and to the world he wasn't fit to run the president. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he throwed in the towel and showed he wasn't nothing to begin with.
Right.
And I'm getting off of that. But we're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. How's that for self-esteem? Amen.
Amen.
That exalts the humble.
Right.
And resisteth the proud. Stay humble, my friends. It's a whole lot healthier. Stay humble. And I was in Sunday school this morning talking about correction and chastisement. I just seem to stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the way of transgressors ain't easy. It's hard. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I went that way a little bit. I had nothing. I threw my flag up and said, Lord, I'm ready to listen. You say it, I'll do whatever you say. Amen. But his thoughts were selfish. His actions were selfish. Look at verse 18. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barn. Man, I'd like to have some new barns myself.
Yeah.
Donnie, tell you, my barn's about to fall down. They ain't got to be pulled down. All it needs is a good wind and they'll be damned. Amen. But this man, his barn's in pretty good shape. He said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. See, he's not satisfied. He's got more than he knows what to do with. Instead of him calling up Miranda and saying, Miranda, I've got more than I know what to do with. Y'all need anything? She said, oh, yeah. Then he said, well, how much y'all need? She said, how much you got? Amen. And he said, well, bring a big truck. Come over here. I'll fill it up for you. Amen. I'll just tell you, buddy, this guy right here, his thoughts were selfish. His actions were selfish. He's wanting to tear his barns down. He's wanting to build greater. And he said, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now Jesus, he told a hypocrite, a Pharisee, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And you know, the Lord knows how to handle them hypocrites. Most people don't, but the Lord knew how to handle them. And he said, you pay your tithes, but you leave out the most weightier matter, mercy.
Right.
You see, he put a lot of emphasis on paying their tithes. He come over there, Brother Mitchell, when he put his tithes in, he put them in like one corner at a time. Look around, see everybody sinning, you know. And one little one went there, slipped in two mites. The Lord noticed she put them two mites in, and he had quite a bit to say about her. This man here, he said, well, you pay your tithes, but you've omitted the law of mercy. Let me give an illustration on that. My pastor was in a waiting room of a hospital. He's in a waiting room a lot. He's like Jesus. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's in that waiting room there. There's a woman in that waiting room, Sister Miranda. And the doctor comes in that waiting room, and he walks over to that woman, and he whispers something in her ear. She starts bawling. She put her hand in her face in her hands, and she's weeping. Now he knows what he needs to do. We all do.
Right.
An old black lady over in the corner got up, went over and pulled up and hugged her.
Yeah.
Said, it'd be all right, honey.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, I knew I should have did what she did.
Right.
See, they omit the weightier matters, Sue. They know they ain't doing right. They're hypocrite.
Yeah, that's right.
They blow their horn. It's kind of like out there while working. They blow their horn, but it's the wheels that move the train.
That's right.
I mean, the horn, the whistle or the horn, whatever, it don't move it. Makes a lot of racket. But it's them little wheels. They keep forgetting that their employees are valuable assets. And most companies like that. But this woman, as she wept and wept, this older black lady got up, come over there and held her in her arms, consoled her and prayed over her, and that's mercy in action. And his own words were, I wish I'd acted on what I knew to do. And Luke chapter 10, a Pharisee come to Jesus, and he's a hypocrite too. And he said, Lord, what good thing shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the law. And he said, all this I've Love the Lord your God, all your heart and mind, your neighbors, yourself. He said, Lord, all this I've done from my youth up. He said, you're good to go. This do and live is what he said. And then he goes to that next question, Sister Joanne. He said, will he justify himself? You know how hypocrites are. They can't leave it alone, Brother Diddy. And he said, who is my neighbor? And that's a mistake to ask Jesus that. You can ask old Brother Diddy that. I might stutter a little bit, but Jesus didn't stutter at all. Yeah, he said, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, a certain man had made his journey down through Jericho.
Yeah.
And he fell among the thieves.
Amen.
And he said they robbed him, they stripped him, and they left him half dead.
That's right.
And he said that, by the way, he started with a Pharisee. Not a priest, I guess, yeah. Which that's the type of Pharisee, I guess. Well, anyway, they said the priest come down there and he saw him. You know what he did, didn't he? I want to get involved.
Right.
Man, Levi, you know, he's the one who carries the ark, you know. He comes down through there and he sees him. And so he goes over on the other side. I don't want to get involved. Jesus said, but there came a good Samaritan. And he looked on him. Had compassion on him.
Yes.
Came to where he was.
Right. Amen.
Bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and wine, put him on his own beast. He walked and put him on his kind of like he gave him his car. Put him on his own beast. Took him to an inn. Joanne, put some money down, Miranda. Boy, you can tell he ain't no different crib.
Right.
Put some money down, so take care of him. And when I come again, if he owes any more, I'll pay it. He said, I want him took care of.
Yeah.
He said, which one was his neighbor? The Lord knows how to handle these hypocrites. He said, I suppose he that come to him, you know, and helped him. He said, you answered rightly, do likewise. But you know these hypocrites, this man here, his actions were selfish. He's nothing but you know, a hypocrite. And I'll tell you right now, who's my neighbor? He didn't care about his neighbor. You getting this? Can you imagine if we cared about our neighbors?
Yeah.
I know Carolyn does. She was telling me a little something about her neighbor this morning. She said, you want to go get up, old?
That's right.
She said, they didn't want to hear it. She said, that's all right. I ain't quitting either. Yeah. She said, what are you doing when it won't come? Just keep wearing them out. Wear them like a shoe, amen.
That's right. Amen.
A friend of mine wrote a song. Have you talked to your neighbor about God? It's not easy. But we need to do it. We need to care enough to say, hey, I just wanted you to know, like to invite you to church. Like for you to come sometime.
Yeah.
He might say, well, I already go. So, well, bless it. I'm glad to hear that. But he might say, you know, I need to get in church. Where are you going? You never know. His plans didn't include God. Verse 19. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, he had plans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all want to take it easy, don't we? Hey, ain't that the goal of all of us? I mean, you might well say amen, Brother Eddie. We all want to get to that place where we can just take our ease.
That's right.
And try not to get coronavirus, you know what I mean? Take a cruise, a woman wanted to take a coronavirus. She had cancer, and she can't even get up there and take a treatment because she said, I've never been on a cruise before, and now I've got the coronavirus. I'm subject to have it. She don't have it. I think she hasn't tested positive yet. But we all want to take it easy. Ain't that what you want to do one day? Retire, Miranda? Yeah, you don't want to get old like old Brother Eddie. You want to retire young. I seen this guy on the internet. He's 27 years old. Already a millionaire. I'm working on my second man myself, Brother Jerry. I didn't give up on that first one. Well, anyway, we all want to get to that point where we can take it easy. But this man, he had plans to get to where he was going, and by all indications, it looks like maybe he has arrived, but his plans didn't include God.
Right.
Now, me and Brother Donnie this morning, we seen a few things coming here this morning. I said, Brother Donnie, don't look like your plans include God neither. We saw several things this morning. One of them was a big long boat behind a truck. And I'm for sure they wasn't going to the house of God. Now, I've met some men that had enough regard for God that they brought the bass boat to the parking lot. And at the service, they went fishing, come back at night. I don't guess you could say anything against that, but for me, I'll just tell you right now, buddy, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day like John did there. In Revelation chapter number 1, it was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. And even though he couldn't be in church, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And by the way, he said, I heard behind me a voice as of many waters. And I turned to see that voice. And I tell you what, he saw more than he thought he was going to see. It felt like a dead man. Lord's going to show up one of these days. We'll probably be just like that. We're going to see more than we think we're going to see.
That's right.
Old Saul reading out them threads and said he had a head-on collision with Jesus' sister body, and he fell down and had to ask him who he was.
Yeah.
Here he is, that persecuting Christian. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's hard for you to keep getting preached. He got him straightened out. The Bible said immediately he preached Christ. And he got him straightened out. Hey, amen. And I'm sure all them Jews disowned him. He may have been married. I don't know. But if he was, if he had a Jewish wife, she disowned him. I mean, that's the law of the Jews. They don't have nothing to do with anything but set their own self. Well, anyway, his plans didn't include God. James chapter 4, verse 15 says, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that.
Amen.
You better be careful about making plans to live a life and not include God in those plans. Amen.
Amen.
This man had selfish thoughts. This man had selfish actions. This man had a plan that didn't include God, and there's a multitude of people that have the mind just like him. I tell you what, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want anything to do with God. But the Bible says in him we live and move and have our being. And I'll tell you right now, one day they're going to come to terms with that name God.
Amen. That's right.
He's got God of some, he's God of all. He don't love some, he loves all.
Yes, he does.
He said all have sinned, but all are loved. All are lost, but all can be saved. I'm one of the ones that is saved,
amen.
But I'll tell you what, I'll say this to all. If they don't get saved, they deserve what I'm going to be preaching about today when it's all said and done. I'm preaching on hell's wake-up call. I ain't got to it yet. He had plans of happiness, pardon, prosperity, taking it easy, selfish plans. Sometimes they get interrupted. And his did, by the way. Can we imagine him even coming to the need of someone, inquiring about someone's need, or giving to the need of others like he should have and thought about others? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the whole chapter is about charity. He had none.
Yeah.
He didn't care about nobody but himself. He had a rude interruption. I'm getting there. Just taking a minute. My grandfather, Brother Denny, when I was a young man, just tore it. There was a boy who used to walk back and forth through his backyard. And he'd say to me, he'd say, Eddie, try to find out if that boy's got something to eat. He said, I don't really care about it. My grandfather was a godly man, had a love of God in his heart. And this young boy, I'm trying to remember his name. They just lived right across the road from me. And I told my grandfather, Pophead, I said, I'll try to find out. But he cared about it. He wanted to make sure his boy had something to eat. And you know what? That's just the opposite of what this man here, he didn't care about nobody but himself. He didn't inquire about anybody's needs. He didn't say, hey, I got more than I need. Come see me if you need anything. He had plans that didn't include God. He had plans that didn't include others. Let me say this.
Amen.
He got a wake-up call of Brother Mitchell on that selfish life. And you see that down there in verse number 20. God said unto him, thou fool. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14 verse 1. Psalms 53 verse 1. God put it in there twice. A lot of things you'll find out if you read the Bible very much. God put it in there twice. Jesus, somehow he'd say, verily, verily. In other words, tell the truth, he'd say it twice. Hey, and you know, he put the devil emphasis on what he's saying. Well, the Bible talks about a fool that says in his heart, there is no God. This man was evidently a fool. He didn't regard God. He didn't know God. God called him by his name. God said, thou fool, this night. You know, that man never probably thought much about dying that night, Sue. You know, Samson, he thought, you know, he'd been playing around with sin. Like some that I can name the won't. Jimmy Swagger got caught. Thought he could get away. David, the great king that had a reputation of being a man after God's own heart, got caught. Yeah. And the Bible said, be sure of this, your sin will find you out.
Yeah,
sin
found
Achan out.
Amen.
Sin found Samson out. And he got a haircut down the devil's barbershop. And he jumped up and said, I'll go out like other times.
Mm-hmm.
He went out like a fool. Who said amen? Is that you, Joanne? I heard somebody grunting over here. But he got up and thought, I'll go like other times. He didn't. They blinded him. They bound him.
Right.
They put him down in the mill, made a fool out of
That's
him.
Right.
I'll tell you what, God loves even fools.
That's right.
As big a fool as he was, Brother Ed, he prayed.
Yes, that's
right. He said, Lord, would you restore my strength one more time?
Yes.
That I might be amazed. And I tell you what God did. God loves even fools.
Yes.
I tell you, he loved this fool. But this fool pillowed his head and never took no thought about tomorrow.
Right.
Never took no thought about eternity. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of fools just like him.
That's right. Yes.
Right.
They'll pillow their head.
Right.
Tonight, lost.
Yes.
They may get a wake-up call.
Yeah.
A Maybe they pillowed their head last night and they didn't get up this morning. You know, everybody didn't get up this morning.
That's right. That's right.
No, they didn't.
We're some of the blessed few that did. Amen.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, the day the Lord made, let us rejoice, be glad in it. Yes. He didn't get the joy the next day. As a matter of fact, according to the terms that God used, he went to bed a fool, died a fool, and then went to hell like a fool. You're talking about a wake-up call. I don't like to get bad calls. I remember I was at my mother's house. It was on a Sunday. And I'd done eating a big bait there, Sister Sue, and I was taking one of them Baptist snaps. And the phone rang. Mama, she answered the phone. She loved her boy. She spoiled him wrong day. Spoiled him, I mean bad. Spoiled me bad. She answered the phone, and I'm still asleep. And she woke me up. She said, you need to wake up. She said, it's for you. And I could tell by the look on her face it wasn't going to be good. This was 1995. Our daughter had been in a car wreck. And they told me, said, you get out of the hospital as quick as you can. And I did. I went straight there. And my wife, I was at Mom's. I spent Sundays with Mom. Dad left Mom. And I was trying to comfort my mother. My wife at the house, she went to the hospital. I went to Mom's house to the hospital. When we got there, my pastor was already there, Brother Ricky. And we went back there. He said, let's go back here and pray. I couldn't even pray. I'll be honest with you. I was just crushed. And he prayed, and I just put my hand on his back. And I just really just in agreement with what he was saying. And we went back to that waiting room. And look, that doctor come in there in that waiting room. And he looked around that waiting room, and he saw me over a distraught Denny. And he said, are you her father's son? And I said, yes, sir, I am. He got down on his knees and crawled to me in that waiting room. He buried his face in my lap, and he wept for a long, long time. When he got to where he could, he looked up at me, and he said, I'm sorry, son. I done the best I could. I pulled him up to me, and I said, I know you did, sir. Thank you. Thank you for everything you did. I didn't get to see her die, Joanne. But this man saw my daughter die. And it crushed him. He saw me already crushed. He's trying to comfort me, and I'm trying to comfort him. Now, my daughter got saved when she was 10 years old. That makes a difference when you're picking a coffin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just that little thread of hope makes a difference. But if she hadn't have been saved, oh my God. Mm-hmm. If she hadn't been saved, they had to call the law. There's no telling what I'd done, Brother Dick. If she hadn't been saved, I couldn't have bore it. But just that cushion of knowing my little girl gave her heart to Jesus at the age of 10 years old made all the difference in that sad news, I'll tell you right now.
Amen.
I don't know about this man's family, but somebody had to go tell him he didn't make it.
Right.
He died during the night. Maybe some preacher got up there and tried to lie, said this man was a good man. He wasn't good. God said he's a fool. And you know, I've done a lot of funerals. I tried to do my best, but I'm going to be honest. I'll just tell you right now. Leave me something to work with, I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, that's right.
I sure ain't gonna lie. I'll tell you right now, but if somebody had to get up there and lie about this man, say he's a good father, he probably wouldn't. Good man, according to God, he wouldn't. And I tell you right now, he didn't have a good reputation. You know what he did? He left behind a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Did he, please God? I won't leave behind a testimony.
Amen.
We're all gonna leave one behind.
That's
why not leave one behind? Amen. Hey, that we please God. It ain't hard to do. You give your heart to Jesus, and on behalf of Jesus, you can please God. The Bible said to Jesus, down to 4, verse 32, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, you can please God through the sacrifice of His Son, and say, Jesus, be your rightful place upon the throne of my heart, and live and abide forever in me.
Amen.
I said, hey, let Jesus in, open the door, welcome him in. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
This man, he didn't leave behind a good testimony. Brother Ed, I'd hold up Brother Red. They left behind a testimony. Did he please God?
Yes.
We're all going to leave one behind.
That's right.
That's right.
God called him a fool. Jesus. You know, Jesus says this is a parable. Well, I tell you what, in this parable, there's some great truths being told.
Yeah.
David said about Abner, Abner dieth like a fool. Abner dieth, Abner. Don't die the death of a fool. He got a wake-up call. Hey, he didn't get another chance. He didn't get to enjoy that prosperity. God called him a fool. God said he wasn't rich towards God. Listen, there ain't no profit in gaining the whole world and losing your soul. Amen.
Right.
Luke chapter 9, verse 25. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Don't do it. Get the true riches. Get rich towards God. Enjoy the things God gives you. If you go to hell, you'll have to go as a trespasser.
That's right.
You'll have to trespass the love of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you go to hell, you'll have to trespass the love of God. If you go to hell, you'll have to trespass the will of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in whom God who will have all men saved. And I'll tell you what, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it said the long-suffering of God, I'll tell you what, waits on people. He don't just come and call you a fool. The long-suffering of God, He's not willing that any perish. He wants all to be saved. He welcomes all to come to heaven. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus making a place called heaven? Not give you the opportunity to go there? You know, this world, they're not interested in souls, no. Brother Donnie.
No.
Are they? They're not interested in souls. Mm-hmm. You know what they're interested in, Joanne? Save the planet. Did you know this is Save the Planet year?
Yeah.
Did y'all know that? Even this presidential election, it's going to be really about saving the planet. Did you know that?
Right.
Does anybody want to know how to save the planet? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 tells you how to save the planet. If my people, which are called by my name,
that's right,
shall humble themselves,
that's right,
and seek my face,
amen,
and turn from their wicked ways and pray,
then
will I hear from heaven.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. And will forgive their sin.
Amen.
And heal their land.
Amen.
You know, all these tornadoes, all these fires, all these floods, all this pestilence upon America, and America's got a deaf ear towards God.
Yes.
Break this down. Point number one, a distinction. If my people, which are called by my name, point number two, shall humble themselves, point number three, and pray and seek my face, point number four, and turn from their wicked ways, point number five, then will I hear from heaven. You ever wonder why your prayers don't get through? Well, you got to do those top prayers to get to that.
That's right.
Point number six. And will forgive their sin. Point number seven. And heal their land.
Amen. That's right.
America's become a foolish nation.
Yes, we are.
It's embracing foolish ideology. We've raised up a bunch of fools. That's probably one of the things that's going to affect this election coming up.
Yeah.
They're praying upon children that they've indoctrinated in our schools. And they try to teach them, evolution and stupid lies.
Right.
The Bible says, no lies are the truth. And they told them a bunch of lies. They don't know no better. I thank God for that little Sunday school class back there.
Yeah.
Maybe we might be able to get a head start and get the truth to these little ones. Amen. For the word lies to them. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody got a wake up call from hell last night, brother, didn't you?
Yeah.
Somebody's getting one right now.
That's right.
They took their last hit of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They took their last driving too fast.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
They got caught in bed with somebody's wife. They tried to outrun the law.
Right.
On and on and on. Anything but give God a chance.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Amen.
Isaiah 30 verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children and take counsel, but not of me. Any way but God's way. Father, we thank you for this message today. Lord, I'm just a messenger. Boy, I needed this message just as much as anybody here. Oh, Father, help us, I pray, to be discerned. Help us, Father, I pray, to be determined, Lord, to reach these that we know are lost. Oh, Lord, this too just came to my mind just now as I'm praying. Lord, help us, I pray. And Lord, I pray you'd use us, Lord, that we might be able to somehow win them to God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I give this invitation, these two men come to my mind. I'm going to work. I stop at Consumers Filling Station to get gas. Young boy, 18 years old, red-headed, John, leather jacket, Harley Davidson motorcycle, got a girlfriend. John comes up there to pump my gas, Brenda. When he did, it came into my heart to give this young boy a track. I thought, you know what, I've been getting my gas here forever. I need to go back here and give this boy a track. And I'm looking at them the truck, Brother Ed, trying to find the right track, you know, for a teenager, you know, and I think I found a good one there for him, you know. And I get out of my truck, Brother Benny, and I walk back there, and here's what I do. I say, and I'm just getting ready to say, John, I want to give you this track. I was going to ask you if he's saved. There's a man stepped between the gas pumps, between me and John. Young guy. He starts talking to John. I thought, I'll give you next time. He died that night.
Mm-hmm.
That night, John went to a party that night. Had a loaded gun. His girlfriend said, John, put that gun up or somebody gets hurt. He said it ain't loaded and blowed his brains out.
Oh.
Unloaded guns kill more people, I guess, than loaded ones out.
18-year-old
boy got a wake-up call.
Right.
I had a man in Haywood, the southern man, come to my mind. As hard could be hearted, sarcastic, just difficult to even talk to. I worked with him. I grew up with him. I've known him ever since this tall. We grew up together. He finally opened up, didn't he? And he gave me his phone number. He'd come down with a fatal disease. He didn't have long, Carolyn. And he said, Eddie, I'd like for you to come down and talk to me. And I welcomed that opportunity, but I thought I had plenty of time. He died within a week. I still got his phone number. I got them two men blood on my hands. Because I should have listened to John. I got to go, but I want you to have this track.
Yeah.
Could have got them both.
Mm-hmm.
This guy here, he asked me to come down there and talk to him, didn't he? And I thought I had plenty of time. See, hell, a wake-up call sometimes comes on us.
That's right.
It don't always just go on
right.
The lost person.
Amen.
Sometimes it comes on us. We drop the ball.
That's right.
You know, we know somebody's lost, and we haven't engaged and haven't acted on it. Now, I'm going to stop right there and ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, sing a verse of invitation on him. You know, you probably got somebody lost on your mind right now. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're lost. Ask yourself the question, if I was to die today, where would you go?
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Right.
You're the only one can answer. I can't answer for you.
That's right.
Amen. Any left behind a testimony, nothing else, at least leave behind a testimony.
Right.
Just tell them, say, hey, I'm saved. I got saved.